and praying. And then before I even open my book and do anything, I want you all to know how much I've been praying for this church. I want you to know that as each and every day passes by in my life, that I see all of your faces as I cry out to God, and how much that I want for your life to prosper, and how much that I want your life to grow, and how much that I want your joy in your life to be full. And I want you to know that I love you. And before I ever say anything that God would lead me to say, know that I say anything out of love. And know that anything that I ever say is what God would give me. I learned recently in my prayers that anything that I ever do needs to be of God or not at all. I'm learning as I grow up in the Lord that we're living in a time that people need to hear nothing but the truth. They need to hear something that will help them grow, help them prosper, give them something, a little bit of meat along the way so they're not starving in their journey. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? I hope that what God would bring tonight, that it would help you grow, and that you not push the plate away, but instead help me, that we both grow together. That's all that I can ask. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited as we were singing. I feel the Lord all over me. I don't know about you, but devil, you got no place in this church. I don't know what he's trying to do at 13th Street tonight, but he's got no place here in this house. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've been laboring too long in my prayer closet. I've been laboring, calling out names too long for so many. I'm believing that God is breaking the very foundation so that we get a hold of something that will help us grow. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? Hallelujah. Let's start out with just a thought. It's real easy to tell the difference between something that is prepared, that is savory and that is good, that smells good, that looks good, that tastes good. You can tell a distinct difference from something that takes that appearance and something that is sat and is rotted, something that has a smell to it that appalls you, something that when you come up to it, that all you want to do is throw it away. I know that we all have seen something like that milk that sat in the fridge too long. Cheese that sat in the pack too long and kind of got a little green on the edges. Bread that sat in the bag for a couple weeks that we forgot about behind the cereal and it began to mold. Come on, somebody, or have we got the picture in our mind? Something that begins to build over time that just sits for a while. All right? Praise the Lord. You have no idea how excited I am. Let's start reading. We're going to go in Romans chapter 14. I'll make sure that we all get there. And while you're getting there, I just want to share my thoughts that God has been giving me. We cannot be caught up in the flesh, partaking in meat of the world, those things that will make the brothers and sisters stumble and fall. For the kingdom of God is not flesh, but all things manifested in the Holy Ghost. How many of us know that we can hear things and talk about things and hearsay and rumors and talk about our brethren and put them down and get caught up in a conversation we never intended to be involved in? And though it takes the appearance of something that we might have ate in the beginning, that over time as we begin to dwell upon those things, that it will begin to rot, begin to take upon the appearance of something that will appall us, something that eventually, as we begin to just beat down our brethren, that we begin to push them away. Something that becomes as a stench to us. Something that we begin to just push out the door. And I begin to think about in my life how I was as a sinner. How I took on the appearance of something that was, that sat and rotted in sin.
took upon the appearance of something that was beat down, something that when people looked at me, they persecuted me because of how I looked, persecuted me because of all that I had done, looked upon all my faults, and judged me because of everything that I'd put my hand to. And don't you know that if we're not careful, as the body of Christ, we'll begin, to begin to throw people up upon our table, and instead of being able to give them something to help them, we'll begin to throw junk on their plate. And rather than wish the great things in their life, I'm going somewhere. I hope you hang on and go with me. I've been praying about this for a while. I hope that you don't hold it against the messenger, as God would anoint his word tonight. So many times we misconstrue. Well, when we reject the truth, we want to blame the one that spoke it. Come on now, somebody. When God's truth rubs you the wrong way, it's supposed to bring us to repentance. Not for us to go and beat down our brethren. Not for us to go and kick them out the door. We're living in a day where people need the truth. The truth shall make them free. Patting them on the back, giving them everything in the world, will only lead them to destruction. Let's read a little bit, shall we? Chapter 14, verse 14, are we there? I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want you to know, I read that, and I thought about it for a while, dwelled on that, prayed on that, and I realized what it meant to me. I can dwell on all the things that bother me in my flesh about a church service. I can sit back and try to blame everything in the world for why something would rub me the wrong way. I can sit back and try to cast all the doubt and fear and unbelief on something. But don't you know that all I'm doing is contributing to the lack of unity? Don't you know that all that I'm doing is working the enemy's plan? The plan of God is righteousness. The plan of God is peace for you and joy in the Holy Ghost. And don't you know that we do not obtain those things through the bickering and the complaining and trying to understand? Listen, all I know to tell you is when I fail and come short, it's nobody's fault but Jared's fault. And when a service doesn't go the way that I think that it should, all that I can do is my part and mine alone. All that I know to do is what God would have me to do. I can't answer for your part, but God wants us to be partakers together, because he called us all by the same Spirit, called us all by the same thing. That means we can't have any hang-ups. We can't have any present issues that stand in our way between one and another. You see, God sees those hang-ups. And it will not fly. Are we still going somewhere? You think I'm done yet? No way. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. What is that saying? Let us operate in the things that will bring an end to envy. Let us begin to operate as Christ did, with forgiveness. Mike, they might have wronged me, they might have spoken evil of me,
But if I operate in the manner that Christ did, if I forgive them regardless and come into church and worship anyway, what does that say on behalf of my witness? Well, how does it make me look if I hold it against them and try to come in and act like that I'm holier than thou? Do you understand what I'm saying? I have to let go of the things to which I was afflicted. In John chapter 15, it talks about that we might feel like that we were the ones that were hated, but it says that I was hated first, that we were not the ones that faced these persecutions first. And though we might feel like that we're alone in our persecution, no, that God faced those persecutions first, that we're not alone. When somebody wrongs us, God is our vindicator, and we need not try to put things in our own hands. We need not try to do everything on our own. I don't know why God led me down this way. You pray about it. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So if we're out in our world, in our daily life, and we come into a conversation or a potential action that would make somebody stumble, we better consider the cost. We better think about what it is that we're doing, what it is we're about to do, what it is we're about to say, because the very thing that we're doing might be their last chance at ever believing God, might be their last opportunity to ever turn back and believe on Jesus. And oh, let me tell you, I'm going to be real with you tonight because I feel the Lord leading this way. There's plenty of people in life that I felt like when I was in my flesh that I just could not stand. There is people that I felt like in my life that just absolutely got on my nerves. And there's people that have offended me along the way that I thought that I was justified in acting the way that I did because they wronged me. But I've learned that those are the ones I'm praying for the most. As God has humbled me, I realize that their need is far greater than those that I get along with. There is such a need for people to have compassion in these last days. People are looking for a people that love regardless. Did you hear that word? That love regardless of the mistakes. Conviction does come by the Spirit, yes, but it also comes by your witness. People will be drawn by the fact that you'll look beyond the way that they wronged you. They'll look beyond. Oh, they'll just see, how could they love me even though that I've done all this to them? Don't you know that Satan wants to tear down the body of Christ? It seems like we'll take a big step for God, and don't you know he's right there wanting to hinder the very move that God's trying to perform in this church? And he'll go through the phone calls. He'll go through every form of conversation. He'll try to sow discord in every way that he can just to try to see that move of God stopped. We're living in a land where people aren't getting help, because we're more concerned about the whys, the whats, the whos, the whens, and the wheres. If it's not such and such, and if it's not before such and such time, and if they don't sing but just such and such songs, I'm not in on this service. Come on now. If it's not this, brother, I'm not in.
I would hope that if your loved ones came in this night, that you could expect me to be just as obedient, and would hope that I wouldn't sit back on my seat and not be obedient because one stood up over another. Are we living in such a time where we have to hold back because we're preferring one over another? That doesn't mean that we have favoritism. That means that we be able to love one another as ourselves, be able to love each other as a neighbor, be able to lend a hand when somebody is in need. Woo! I feel that. There's people that need a hand, that need God's encouragement. And where are we? We're too busy with our concerns of the wares. And I'm not going because they brought me. Where's our forgiveness? Woo! Where's our love when God is wanting us to be able to face those tests? I've been praying, Lord, show me. God, help us to get past those things so that when they come, we'll be ready. I want them to come, and I want them to get help more than anything, more than I want money in this world. I finally made a decision in my life that I want God more then I want everything else. I want you to have help and receive what you need more than I want for myself. And I'm concerned. I care. I pray. I long to see God's people with joy in their life. And I'm tired of where Satan thinks that he's got a rightful seat in the house of God. And I rebuke that with the God-given right and authority tonight that we've been given. Mike, we have the right and authority to obey God, to do what he's called us to do. Oh, can we go on? We got an amen? Amen? Let's go to Proverbs. If you've never really took the time to spend in Proverbs, great encouragement and wisdom and understanding. If you're looking for some virtues in your life, hop over to Proverbs and get to reading. You'll find some things that will really lift you up. Let's read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I don't care what the devil's got to say tonight. I don't care, Gail. I'm so happy. Mike, I'm so happy. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. I would rather hear the word of God and understand it in its fullness than to receive every bit of money that everybody has in their wallets here tonight. For it would serve me more benefit to understand God's truths and to walk out of here with diddly in my bank account than to have all the money in the world. How much more knowledgeable is it to walk out with this knowledge? We resist so hard because we don't want change. We don't want to lay down. We don't want to give up the things that God wants us to do. Change is the one thing that God requires. It's the one thing we don't want to do, and it's the one thing that's inevitable. You'll not get around it, and whether you want to or not, it's going to happen with or without you. I would rather choose to change with God. I would rather choose to include Him in my life. I would rather choose, Rick, to believe. I would rather want to include Him in my everyday. I would rather have him in my prayer every morning. Don't you know that I have a job? And yes, I get up and I pray, and my job is much more meaningful to me now than it was before. Simply because I go in with more peace than I did before. Because yes, I have to hear the swearing and the cussing and all the bickering and all the things of the world that drag us down. How many of us work in an environment? I know I'm not the only one. And you can try to get them to put it all down, but Satan rages sometimes that much harder when you try. But all that you can do is be your witness and stand strong for the Lord. Amen. Let's read the next one. Chapter 16, verse 24. We're going somewhere. I have been so prepared. I've been just waiting on the Lord to open the way. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. How about that? How about that? So when you're sitting around with your companion and they're down for the day, rather than just ignoring the fact that they're down, encourage them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Ask them if they want to pray, JR. Grab them by the hand and begin to pray. Mike talked about that as he ministered here, and me and Angela's been in practice of that. And we've drawn more close in doing that than we have in a long time. It's done wonders. Because it drives away all the wedges that Satan tries to put in there. And that's just our union. But as the body of Christ, we have to come together and pray. And I know that it feels like a routine to just come in and stand and to go through the motions. But that's just because our flesh is trying to come against. Our flesh is trying to come against that. There's a point where there's a breakthrough. And if we can make it to the breakthrough in God's Spirit, there's such a blessing there. And I'm not just telling you that just to tell you that. I'm telling you that because I've been getting there. I've been making it through the door, and I've been feeling such peace in my life. I'm testifying to you that I'm feeling peace in my life. Though I may face persecution, though I might not have all the answers for what I need in my life, I'm going on because I have the peace of God in my life. Satan might think that he's won the battle, but I have the peace of God. He's not won the battle in my mind. He doesn't have my heart. He certainly doesn't have my soul. So he's not winning the battle. And in fact, I'm treading back on the ground that he thought that he stole from me. We've listened to it so long in the church. We've been whispered to so long that we've become disobedient and slothful and laid back and almost just practically asleep. And I'm not throwing that out to just crack a whip on anybody, because I know we're human. I know we're human. And I was there. I was there. But as God brings out his word of truth, that's when we not only just hear it. I know you're hearing me. I know you're hearing me, but we got to do it. We got to do it. We got to come out of here tonight. And when we go back home and we get up the next day, we got to find some time at some point to get down and call out on God in a greater way. It can't be just a subpar prayer. It's got to be something that when you get up that you feel like that you gave God your best. Consider the scripture that talks about the offerings of the brothers, and one didn't give his best. I'll leave that at that. I don't want to get steered off here. Chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as one when... Let me reread it again. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. Sometimes God is right in the middle of a service and is just pouring out. And disobedience is like pulling the plug from the bottom of that and just draining the life out of what God's trying to do. And I know that we're not trying to do it intentionally sometimes. I know we come in tired. Don't you know that I feel tired like 24 hours a day?
And sometimes I just get tired of doing what God's called me to do. I get exhausted. I think, Lord, what's the point? God, what I'm saying? God, does anybody even care about what I do? Lord, and I cry out and I'm in those woes and those worries. And then God reminds me, it's not them that you're serving. I'm doing His work that it may edify you. That it may edify you. That it may help you. That it may encourage you. But we often misconstrue that with, if I don't do it just the right way and you don't like it, then I need to change how I do my approach, that it may please just one or two in the crowd. Listen, this ain't about being in the cliques. I feel led of this. It might be the last time I ever get to stand, but that's all right. We're not here to be in cliques. We're not here to favoritism one over another. It's about coming together. Unless we come together, we'll go nowhere. We'll wander around in the wilderness, and we'll feel a little bit here and a little bit there. But when it comes right down to it and the need's right before us, they'll go out just the way that they came. And that is the truth. Unless we be able to look beyond our faults and love one another just as Christ loved us when we were in trouble, we'll never be able to achieve what God has planned for us to achieve, lest we be able to love one another beyond. I know that we have the ability to retain history in our mind. We have the ability to remember things that's happened in the past, things that's happened before. And if I thought that people look back in my past, I would never get up here. And if I thought that people were looking back, I would never be able to get up here. But God reminds me that those things are in the sea of forgetfulness. So why are we trying to put those things back on our plate and hold it against our brothers and sisters when they're trying to obey God? Glory to God. Aren't we better than looking back in the history books? We do obey a law. But that law is in those courts. God forgives everybody. Therefore, we forgive everybody. And God elaborates in His word as far as to say 70 times 7. You go ahead and try to say, I forgive you 490 times right now. Go ahead. I forgive you. 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 We won't even count it, let alone even try it. Yet we won't even have... We won't even let go of our pride to be able to let go. Forgive somebody just once. And you see, I might not even see it. You might be able to fool me. You might be able to get it by me. And you might be able to lift your hands and feel a little bit. But God sees it. God sees it. And until we get the house clean, until it's all swept up and out, we will not see it in its fullness. I'm not saying that we don't feel something, and that's no harm. I believe that was covering that topic of jealousy. I coveted, yes. Boy, I wanted to be able to sing like some. Man, I did. I wanted to be able to play like some of my brothers and sisters. Coveted after that and would go and play and practice and play and practice, and it still wouldn't be as good, and I just wanted to just give up and not even do it. Let alone, let's go back and keep in mind that while service was going on, I was busy coveting, busy being jealous and looking and focusing my entire time on the service on somebody. There might have been somebody that needed me. I'm not the only one in here that does that, am I? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Please tell me I'm not the only one that ever feels like that the sword cuts it pretty sharp. Yeah, it cuts it pretty sharp, but praise God that we're in a church where we're hearing the truth, that we're not just scratching the surface. It's one thing just to read the Bible and hear "For God so loved the world," but it's another thing to really dig deep beyond that and know that He really gave His Son. It's another thing to dig in there and understand it.
Praise God for Him sending people to be able to give the truth. And listen to me. I don't care who brings it, so long as it's truth and anointed. Glory to God. That's all that I ever want. Woo! I can wait a year, so long as this God brings it with the anointing and with the truth. I know where the head is. Yeah, I feel led to say this. Don't think I'm being weird. I know where the head is. And I know that I have a given freedom to operate within that. But I also know who is the real head of the matter. And I understand. And I love Doris to death. But we got to bring the truth. And I love her. But we work together, not against, right? As a church, we got to work together. We got to have a mutual understanding that if we have issues amongst one another, we got to be man and woman enough to be able to talk about it like adults. I don't see any of us with bottles in here. So why do we act like children when we get so upset over little things? Yes, I'm guilty, but I'm willing to say that I'm admitting that I'm growing up a little bit. And I'll testify that I was at a practice a few weeks ago, and I said something, and the Lord showed me that I was kind of out of line in one of the things that I said. And they can tell you that a week later I came back and apologized. And I said that I just wanted to make sure that I cleared everything up because I told them I wanted to be pure before them. That I didn't want anything to stand in the way. I didn't want anything to be a hindrance because I want God to work with us as a group, as a singing group. I want God to be able to move. They can testify to that. I didn't want anything to stand in the way. We got to be able to man up, woman up, and be able to admit our faults and our mistakes. We do that for God. Do we not have enough respect for our brethren? The place that we go and link up together, sweat together, worship together, tithe together, drive to the same place and agonize to God together to be able to say that I was wrong regardless of what it was and be able to love each other and look beyond the falls. You see, we don't have time anymore to be all worried about who was at fault and who was justified. We don't have time anymore to be worried about whose fault it was. There are too many souls at stake. There are too many people that need help, Ernest, and we got to be on fire, on guard, and watching for them when they come. And if we're too busy working in our flesh and partaking of the other meat, we'll never see them. Woo! We'll never see them. I'm sorry if you feel like this is too sharp. I'm trying to hurry. I apologize. Let's go back to Romans. I'll try to close it up, and then we're going to do our radical move of obedience. Romans chapter 15. So why do we bother with going to all this trouble to make sure that nobody's mad? And why do we do all this anyway? What's the point? Maybe they don't even care if I forgive them. So what? Go and do it anyway. They might hold that against you forever. But what you answer for is your part, not theirs. You answer for what you did in the matter, not their part. And if you go and take care of your side of the story, even if they hold it against you and wrong you continually after that, God will bless you because you went and took care of your end. You hear what I'm saying? It's getting quiet in here. I know that people are listening to me now. Why do we do all this? Chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Why are we here? Ernest, why are we here? I consider Ernest a strong man of the Lord. And when I look at him, I don't see somebody that's weak. When I see him, I look at him as somebody that can go and help somebody else. I want you to know that. We ought. It's our duty, as God has brought us from where we were, to help people carry the load. We're not here to beat each other up, beat each other down, and throw each other under the bus. We're here to bear the infirmities of the weak, Danny. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. I don't want to go and just do my little part for you that I might please myself and myself get edification. God wants us to please one another that it would be for your good. That means do something selfless. That means when you get in the house of God, do something selfless as God would call you to. Don't be selfish in your worship. Do something that God may be edified in and get the glory out of it. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. These things that were written for our learning, that we, through patience, coming through some trials, saying we're sorry, learning from our mistakes, and comfort of the scriptures, getting some answers for the things that we need understanding for, might have hope. It's your choice to have hope. You know that tonight? It's your choice to believe. It's your choice to build yourself up with faith, Lisa. You can sit and be hopeless if you want to. You can sit without any hope in your life if you want to. But tonight I choose to have hope. I choose to believe, Brian. I choose to know that no matter what Satan tries to throw in our path, that we're going on. We're going on. And we're not being stopped by anything. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another. One toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Ooh, that's interesting. One mind and one mouth. That means we think together and we speak together. Means that we're going to love everybody the same, speak of them the same, and not go out of here and have fried preacher. Come on. Come on. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. With all that said, as we stand tonight. Life was never promised as an easy burden. But as we near the end of each trial, the promise begins to come to a truth in our heart. God intends for our lives and our witness to be fruitful. Say fruitful. That is when the people see us as a ripe and good, and what they taste and partake and get to know us is even better.